Hello, my friends. Good evening. How are you doing? Yes, JMAC Podcast. It's been a while, hasn't it? I apologize for that. But as you know, I've been a little busy. Have a few things going on right now. But I think that I'm getting used to the pace and everything else. So my hope is that I can continue to do these podcasts twice a week like I used to all the time. Really because I need them. I need you. I'm just going to be honest. I need a place to go where I can share my thoughts and where we're not attacking each other and we can have differing viewpoints and have a good discussion and kind of support each other or commiserate with each other or whatever you call it. So I know if I've been missing it, you're probably missing it as well. So my hope is to do better, and when I can't, please forgive me. You may have seen that I've been out in the RV. We've been traveling all over CD2 and trying to get the message out, and I'm actually doing my day job from inside the RV and then inviting people to come by. And that's been a real treat and so much fun. And your feedback on the RV has been fantastic. I do want to remind you that we're still trying to name the RV. So please share with us your thoughts. Macmobile, the Macmobile has the most supporters so far. But please let me know what your thoughts are. And as usual, let me know where you are listening in from. I haven't fired up the podcast for a while, so I want to make sure the comments are working. So say hello, let me know where you're at and where you are tuning in from. And I have several things on my mind tonight that I want to share with you. Thank you for liking the stream as well. That is fantastic. Is it Pastor Nasir? Thank you. Thank you for joining us tonight. Couple things on my mind, but of course we're in the middle of a campaign, so if there's something on your mind, I will try and answer it if I can. Janelle joining us from Roy. Janelle is helping out this campaign tremendously. Thank you, Janelle. David joining us again on YouTube. And who is that liking the stream? I covered it up. I shouldn't have covered it up. But thank you so much for all of your support. This is, you know, just to give you a little campaign update. I don't know how to describe it. It's my second time around. As you know, I ran in 2020 for Congress. And it really is an interesting thing when you go around sharing with people your beliefs and they're politically invested and people are so quick to attack in today's world. And unfortunately, what that does is it chases a lot of really good people out of politics because we don't know how to communicate with each other. We don't know how to disagree with each other. And I just think it affects the caliber of the type of person that gets involved. Fortunately, because I've been in talk radio for 20 years, I am in the business of sharing my opinion and then saying, hey, call me and tell me where I'm right or tell me where I'm wrong. So I have a very thick skin, but it's still really interesting to spend your days doing that and asking people what they think and judging you based upon your presentation. Did you sound like you were spinning or are you politicizing things? You start thinking about things in a totally different in a different way, and it's something that I really fight against. Because you start, and this is so natural, and you understand why politicians end up in this way, or at least I do, because you start thinking in terms, like when I'm normally doing a show, I tell you what I think, and I'm prepared for whatever, and I've done the research, right? But there's this little voice that creeps in when you're running for office, and that is, did I say it right? Could I say it better? maybe I should alter that or change it. Do you know what I mean? There's just all these other forces that start to play at you. And it is a temptation that you must resist constantly. It takes fortitude. It takes effort. And I'm not saying that I have it completely, but to be true to what you believe as opposed to being true to what you think people want to hear. And I think that we saw, if you watched any of the Supreme Court hearings, we saw people who were clearly, in my opinion, speaking solely so that people could hear what they had to say, so that they could be heard and seen on Twitter and other places. And I didn't believe for a second that they believe what they're saying. To me, it felt like a show. And so there's this constant pull to want to do that because, you know, you'd like to get elected. And I resisted that pull last time, and I am here to tell you, I will resist that pull this time. If I get elected, it will be because you chose me for what I believe. And because I shared with you straight up what I believe. And if I have to change who I am, and trust me, all I had to do last time, because I was leading in the polls, all I had to do last time was just come out and embrace Trump. And I probably would have beat Burgess Owens. I don't know, but I could have easily done that. And chose to stand on my ground, and be who I am and share with you what I believe. It is not easy. I think it's easier for me because I've been doing this for a long time. But I just kind of, to give you like, you know, inside baseball, some of the things that you start to feel, you start to question everything. You type up a tweet to send it out, and suddenly, you know, before a campaign starts, you're like, you just send the tweet. But now you're in the campaign and you're like, oh, is this, you know, how will this be, you know, and this and that. It just is this constant thing that you go through. And it's hard to be true. It really is hard. And it's one of the most common questions that I get from people. How do you stay true to who you are and what you believe? Well, first of all, I think you have to know who you are and what you believe. And then I think you have to decide what is more important to you, truth, principles, or power. What's more important to you? And I am not running because I want another job. I'll be honest with you, the idea of working in Congress and having to compete with those forces and having to raise money every 2 years and run for an election every year, some people may see that as like glamorous, like, oh, if I could just be a... I see it as incredibly hard work. And it will probably be, if you choose me to represent you in Washington, it will probably be the hardest thing that I will ever, ever do in my life. And so why would I sell my soul to get that? You know what I mean? Why would I do that when I can just sit here and we can talk together twice a week and I can still have an influence on things going on? Why would I do that? Some people are asking me why I would do it anyway. So just some of the things that are going through my mind. Mike joining us from, are you still in Florida, Mike? Mike, I'll be honest with you. I'm glad to see you because the last time we were together on the air, we kind of went at it a little bit. And I'm just glad you're back. I love you, man. And I'm glad you're here with us. And I'm glad that your point of view is represented on this show. Dave in Sandy joining us. Dave is one of the main reasons that this campaign is even happening. Again, this is Pastor Nasir joining us. Haven't seen you here at least commenting. So thank you for joining us. Mike says politics changes people. And I understand it. I really understand it. The forces that pull against you are so tremendous. So I get it. Mike says he's still in Miami. Glad you're here, Mike. I'm really glad you're here. So that's kind of the update. We've been taking the RV around. More than anything, we need your support. We need your dollars, man. I'm just going to say it. We need your financial support. And I have to sneeze, so hang on a sec. Okay. I thought it wasn't going to happen. I'm just going to say it. I need your support. If you've donated $5 before, go to jmacforutah.com, donate five more. If you can donate monthly, donate monthly. I will tell you that I think our biggest obstacle right now is just letting people know that there is a choice, that there is a viable choice. I think that if you look at the numbers there, and I'm going to show you some interesting numbers tonight. If you look at the numbers, there are enough people disgruntled with their political party on both sides of the aisle that if we can get them to come together, then we can win this and we can start the change that is needed. So our obstacle is just letting those people know that they have a place they can go. So how do we do that? I mean, we've got it plastered all over the RV. We're doing everything we can with social media, but unless you're willing to donate your dollars or your time, we will not be able to reach enough people to share with them that there is a place that they can go. So please go to jmacforutah.com. $5 a month, $5, whatever you can do, please take a minute and do that. And then if you can volunteer, definitely be a social media ambassador. Subscribe to all of our social media. Like what you can like. Share what you can share. Let's see here. David and Mary Jane joining us. Great to see you here, see and hear you. I know David and Mary Jane, actually, when I'm not on, they will email me and say, hey, where you at? They're fantastic. Michael says, I'm with you, Jay. Let's see. Mike says, I wasn't absent due to our spirited conversations. I had some scheduling changes, and well, I had to see how you and your campaign is going. So there you go. And Dave is reminding me of something. Let's do that, Dave, while I've got your attention. Hang on. I'm going to go to what's my website? jmacforutah.com. Let's see, and I'm going to click over here on events, and I'm going to click right here. We want you to, this is a great way to help the campaign and also have some fun and come together. This is the Salt Lake Bees season opener against the Las Vegas Aviators. Go to the website. We're going to picnic there, Smith's Ballpark on April 12th. We'll be at the Centerfield Pavilion, and food is included. It does cost $50 per person. Bring friends, family. Part of those proceeds go to help our campaign. So this is a great way to help us out, and also, you know, to kind of kick things off. I'm so excited this year to actually maybe, I'm crossing my fingers, actually be able to campaign out among people instead of from my living room with COVID. You know, last time, right when the campaign was heating up, the state shut down. And now this time, right when we announced our run this time, everything started going crazy with Russia and Ukraine. So everybody's focused on that. But we don't care. We're going to give it everything we've got. The picnic includes your choice of a ballpark brat or a burger, chips, and a drink. Gates open at 5:35 p.m. We need you to sign up for this immediately so that we have enough people. I think by Sunday is our last, maybe Friday. Is it Friday, Dave? Dave will let me know. And let's see. David Lammer, oh, David and Mary Jane says, we will see you at the ball field on the 12th. Already have our tickets. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. So that is what's going on with the Bees game. So again, that's April 12th. Thank you for that. Let's go back to some more of your comments. Let's see here. Let's get to some of the things that I want to talk about. Oh, David says, I purchased one. Never been to those pavilions during a Bees game. Well, it'll be a good time for all of us. So please go to jmcfarland.com and sign up to join us at the Bees game. You can also, while you're on the website, you can donate. You can also volunteer. You can sign up to help us out in any way that we can. We definitely need your help and your support. And if you follow social media, if you follow my Facebook page, at least every day when I'm out in the RV, I will let you know. I'll do a live broadcast and I'll let you know where I'm at. And when I'm in your neighborhood, in the RV, we've got signs, we've got t-shirts, we've got Dave Long provided a bunch of candy for the kids, we've got pocket constitutions to give out. So all kinds of cool stuff there, when you come out and see the RV. All right. So lots going on. Here's a question for you. This has come up. Last night we did a caucus 2.0 for the United Utah Party. And one of the questions that, I saw, and I've seen this question over and over again, is with people's concern over the support on the part of Republicans for Vladimir Putin. And I'm afraid that this is one of those cases where the loudest voices are getting the attention, but it doesn't match reality. Perception is not reality. Now, you know I decided to leave the Republican Party, but we have to be fair. That's one of the important parts of putting principles over party. We have to be fair. And the truth is, from my perception and from what I've seen, the vast majority of Republican leadership and Republicans themselves support Ukraine. There was, in the initial days, like when the invasion first happened, you had a couple of voices like Tucker Carlson, some other people kind of following Trump's lead to see if they would get any traction supporting Vladimir Putin. Now, if you paid attention, the very next day, every one of them, except for the extremes, changed their tune. And the reason they changed their tune is because even some things are too much for Tucker Carlson. And there was a backlash. There was a backlash against anybody who showed support for Vladimir Putin. And it was swift. And so I want to resist any suggestion, whether or not it's because of the backlash or whatever reason, any perception that Republicans are in any way supporting Vladimir. Now, I will say that what they are not doing is challenging former President Trump when he makes those claims. So they're saying, we're with Ukraine, support Ukraine, Vladimir Putin bad, and then over here is Trump propping up and supporting Putin, and Republicans aren't saying, dude, enough. because they still fear his power and his money. So that does present an issue, right? I believe that you need to hold your own accountable to a higher standard. And their willingness to support Ukraine over here, but not criticize Donald Trump over here, that's one of those situations that I was talking about when we first started this podcast tonight. Are you going to say what you believe in your heart and stand by it regardless of the impact? Are you going to fight for what you know is right and true regardless of those forces they're pulling at you? Well, not so much. But let's talk about Utah for a minute, because I saw this story and I think it's important to celebrate when we get it right. Politics so often is just about pointing out the bad things and the negatives. And one thing that I want to do over the next, well, until November, is also talk about vision. And talk about the good things and celebrate the good things. And I saw this story. This is from the Deseret. Excuse me. This is from the Deseret News. And it says, are Utahns willing to pay more for gas if it means no Russian oil? Did you read this story? What if you didn't read it, what do you think? Are Utahns willing to pay more for gas if it means no Russian oil? Well, I was pleasantly surprised. Because sometimes, you know, when you get to people's pocketbooks, and let's be honest, everybody is using high gas prices for political reasons. And very few of those people have any clue about how energy works. And I'll give you an example. We hear this all the time that during Trump's administration, we were self-sufficient with oil. We were a net oil producer. And it's not true. And it's all semantics. Let me go back to bigger me here. It's all semantics. We were a net energy producer. But the United States has never, ever produced more oil than it uses. Ever. But because we have 20% renewable energy, then that allowed us to be a net energy producer. Okay? The only reason I bring this up is because we live in a time where if the gas prices are high, we blame the president. If they're low, we celebrate the president. And the problem with that is that if we don't ever really find out what impacts fuel or energy or things like that, then the odds are we're going to make a bad choice to solve the problem. Like, if you're here blaming Joe Biden for all the inflation, for the gas prices, for all of these things, the hiring crisis, because he's in office, then the odds are, when you go to pick somebody else, you're not going to pick somebody who knows how to fix those problems either, because you haven't done the time or the research to figure out what actually caused those problems. All you know is it's this great political opportunity. And so we'll use it to attack, and then we'll go and choose somebody else. And does that person really have the ability to impact all of those things? Hardly, when you're coming out of a pandemic. So I think it's important that we don't fall into the trap that blames a president for every negative thing, and the trap that celebrates a president for every positive thing. Because is that really reality? Or that celebrates a party for everything that's good while they're in control, or that attacks a party for everything that's bad while they're in control? Those types of labels are lazy. That's laziness. And it's designed to not have to compete in the arena of ideas. It's designed to slap a label on it, take full political advantage of it, and then when you're in charge and they start pointing at you because now you're in charge and the problem hasn't been solved, well, I guess you get what you I guess you get what you ask for. Mike says, Russian oil virtually means nothing as it relates to gas prices and the big fat lie that prices going up due to the invasion. I will disagree with you, Mike. Now, I will tell you, I am not an energy expert. I've been doing a ton of research. But when you talk about global markets and you talk about Russia, their number one exporter of energy, and when suddenly that availability of that supply is not there anymore, we understand supply and demand, then things are going to happen. But well, that's a sidetrack. The question is, are Utahns, because to me this is not a gas price question, this is a do you support Ukraine question. So I don't want to go down the rabbit hole too much on whether or not this is a reality. Because to me, this speaks to, if you were out there today and you wanted to know what level of support is there for Ukraine right now, this is a good way to tell, I think, in Utah. So let's go to the story here. A majority of Utah residents back U.S. President Joe Biden's move to ban imports of Russian oil, with 60% of those who participated in a recent poll saying they would pay more at the gas pump if it meant cutting off that country's supply. Very, very interesting things here. First of all, they're backing a Democrat's move to ban imports of Russian oil. See, every once in a while, there's a subject, there's an issue that rises above politics. And that's what we saw happen when certain Republicans came out and they wanted to be supportive of Putin, and all of a sudden they realized the American people ain't having it. Regardless of who's in office, they are not gonna have it. So look at that line. A majority of residents back U.S. President Joe Biden's move to ban imports of Russian oil, with 60% of those who participated in a recent poll saying they would pay more at the gas pump if it meant cutting off that country's supply. This is Deseret News Hinckley Institute Politics poll. 804 registered Utah voters. Biden announced on March 8th that the United States would no longer accept imports of Russian oil. But even before then, prices were on the rise as inflation continues to send shockwaves across the country. So there is the story. And I find that to be encouraging. Ukraine is a story and is a crisis where people are seeing past right versus left. And they're coming home to right versus wrong. This is one of those encouraging moments for me, that people would actually say, in a Republican state, they say they support the Democrat president and they are willing to pay more at the pump to impact Russia. Doesn't that make you feel good? Makes me feel good. Mike says prices were going up for 13 months. Yeah, that's what the supply and demand issue was. But that doesn't mean that they didn't go up more because of Russia. Again, don't want to go down the rabbit hole. But so this to me, great news. We can all pat ourselves on the back. This says a lot to me about where we're really at. So if you hear and you watch the news and you're like, oh my goodness, Republicans are supporting Putin, or people are so caught up in politics they can't see through what's going on in Ukraine, this to me was a screaming banner headline that Utahns get it, they understand, and they're rising above. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. So I'll take any of your comments on that. Are you surprised by that? I was a little bit surprised. Okay. One other story for you tonight. I have been sharing with you my concern about the abortion laws being passed in several Republican-run states. Because the chosen methodology is, it's an affront to the Constitution. It's an all-out assault on the Constitution. And one of the things that we talk about, one of the things that good leadership is about, is understanding unintended consequences. And I just feel like people are so caught up in the emotion, and I understand the emotion of pro-life, pro-choice, that they're willing to do things that they think will solve a problem, but instead, it may chase the problem to somewhere else, but ultimately, it will dilute or reduce your rights in other places. And we have to resist this. We have to be smart and understand the unintended consequences of what we're doing. Why am I talking about this right now? Let's go. This is Oklahoma now. Okay, let's bring up Oklahoma. Oklahoma State House passes near total ban on abortion, similar to Texas law. The Republican-controlled Oklahoma House of Representatives has passed a bill that would lead to a near total ban on abortion. And here's the key, would allow private citizens to enforce the law through civil litigation. This is perhaps one of the worst ideas that I have ever heard in government. It is reckless abandon. Charging towards your goal at all costs with no forethought of what the consequences will be. Because literally what they're saying is that even though something is protected constitutionally, that they can pass a law that allows civilians to enforce the action. So why does it stop at abortion? California has already put, they're already trying to put in a law almost written exactly the way this is written, but not for abortion, for guns. We're not going to make guns illegal. We're not going to take away your Second Amendment rights. We're just going to allow any citizen out there to sue you for owning a gun. I don't understand how this is even, how is this celebrated? How is this even, how can you sit back and say you love the Constitution? And cheer for this. Now, I know some of you might be saying, Jay, abortion's not in the Constitution. Yes, it is. I know some of you just went, what? What? Where? A Supreme Court decision becomes part of the Constitution. That's the whole point. The Constitution is not just what's written there. It's every single ruling by the Supreme Court becomes part of the Constitution. And right now, Roe v. Wade protects abortion up to a certain point. And three or four states are sitting there saying, well, we don't like that, so we're going to let private citizens sue. My friends, with this philosophy, what is off limits? Free speech? I can totally see free speech being attacked with all these claims of cancel culture, all of these claims that social media is banning conservatives. I mean, free speech, yet just allow the citizens to enforce it. This is the most... Now, I have my magic eight ball here, and I've shaken it up, and I am here with more than a hope that the Supreme Court will shut this madness down. Because if they don't, they open up a Pandora's box that cannot be closed, and every single right that you enjoy is now at jeopardy because of our zeal to stop abortion. Please, we have to understand how dangerous this is. Supreme Court, please. Please shut this madness down. Or it will only be a matter of time before other protected rights are at risk. They're at jeopardy. I just can't believe these. I guarantee you that if you ask any one of these representatives, any one of these people supporting this, I guarantee you that they wave around the Constitution and claim to be constitutionalists and love and cherish and honor the Constitution, while at the same time passing laws that literally empower any state legislative body to take away constitutional rights by making it civil instead of criminal. This has got to stop. It's just madness. And I have a few more thoughts just about the abortion issue. I do think that the court at some point, based upon its makeup, is probably going to overturn Roe v. Wade. And I've always felt that this is a states' rights issue. You know me, I'm a 10th Amendment guy. I'm a states' rights guy. But for people who think that overturning Roe v. Wade is going to solve any problems, again, being able to see unintended consequences here, it's not. California has already enshrined and protected abortion just in case Roe v. Wade. And you're going to say blue states all over the country do that. And then you're going to see red states all over the country ban abortions. Is that really... I mean, at least it's states handling it, right? I think it's a state's issue. But honestly, have you really solved a problem? This is one of those things where I feel like we're just skipping right past the most important issue. And oftentimes, real solutions don't come through legislation. Oftentimes, real solutions come through looking at a problem and saying, what is the best way to solve that problem? And the problem is, this may be controversial for you, looking at the abortion is too late. That's not the problem that needs to be solved. The problem that needs to be solved is unwanted pregnancy. That's where all of the emphasis should be. Anybody who is against abortion, any legislature, any group that is against abortion, your emphasis should be on stopping unwanted pregnancy. And there are, and I'll share it with you at another time, but there is plenty of research out there on government programs that can do just that. That should be the goal. Am I wrong? Tell me if I'm wrong. That should be the goal. When your emphasis is just on the actual abortion itself, then our future is, again, magic eight ball, our future is a bunch of states that are pro-abortion, a bunch of states that are pro-life, and a lot of people traveling to other states to get abortions. And you might say, well, at least it's not happening in our state. That's not good enough. It's not good enough for me. And it shouldn't be good enough for us. We should be wise enough to figure out how to reduce unwanted pregnancy. That should be the focus and the goal, if you ask me. David says, almost every state borders a blue state, so it would barely stop abortion anyways. Totally agree. If you really want to stop it, because honestly, think about the outcome. Somebody gets pregnant, and let's say they do follow the law, and they don't run to another state, and they have an unwanted childbirth. And now they either keep it, hopefully, I don't know their circumstances, or it becomes a foster child or something else. What if you could never have that happen? We just, in politics, man, we just focus on the wrong thing. And in my opinion, we are focusing on the wrong thing. And when Roe v. Wade gets overturned, there's your future. States that allow it, states that don't. Have you really reduced abortions? Yeah, probably some. But there are common sense things that can be done now. And that should be our emphasis. And if we weren't so busy just attacking each other, isn't that common ground? Remember, one of the things that I think we need are leaders who focus on common ground. Isn't that the common ground that we can find on abortion? Stopping unwanted pregnancy? What if there's tax dollars that we could spend on a state level? What if there are programs that we can implement that dramatically reduce unwanted pregnancy? There are. And in fact, I believe, I haven't looked for a while, but abortions have been going down steadily since Roe v. Wade was actually passed, because there's more technology now. And there's more birth control options. Now they're coming out with birth control for men and these types of things. Isn't that common ground? Let me know what you think. You know what's funny? I was just going to give out the phone number. I was just going to give out the KSL phone number, just like old times. How long has it been? I haven't been on the radio on KSL since 2019. Old habits die hard. My friends, that's what I had planned for you tonight. Those are the things that are on my mind, besides the grandstanding that we saw in the Supreme Court hearings. I'm just one thing I'd like you to do with so many of the questions that are being asked by the opposing party. How many of these questions did they ask when it was a conservative being nominated? How many? Were they asked on a... Did you hear Lindsey Graham ask on a scale of 1 to 10, how religious are you? Did you know that the Constitution says that there should be no religious litmus test? Do you know that's enshrined in the Constitution? I'm just like, okay, all right. Okay. I just watching Ted Cruz, and I don't know if you saw this, but a lot of people caught that after Ted Cruz went on his, I don't even know what he was doing, But immediately after, he stopped listening to the testimony, and he's on his phone, and somebody caught a picture of his phone, and he's checking his own name on Twitter. That's what we were talking about at the beginning of the show tonight, about the pull, you know, and when you stop doing things because they're right or because you're principled, and you start doing them because you know the response that it will get. It's just unbelievable watching that. I find myself almost twice daily now saying, I'm glad I left that party. Yeah, unbelievable stuff. Well, that's it, my friends. That's all I had tonight. Nice, short, and sweet, 48 minutes. Do me a favor, go to jmacforutah.com, make a donation, sign up to join us at the Bees game, and watch social media to see when the RV is going to be in your neighborhood, and help us name the RV. And if you're catching this after the fact, if you didn't watch live, because most of our listeners for this podcast happen after, please share in the comments what you think about what we talked about tonight. Some very, very important issues. With that, my friends, thank you so much for joining us. I think that's all I have tonight. So I will let you go, and I promise I'm going to be better twice a week. That's the goal. 2 podcasts a week. Thank you, my friends. Oh, I did some changes to my computer files, and now my little graphic that's supposed to come up right now is not going to show. So what I'll do is I'll play some music, and then I will click finish, and we will be done. Have a great night.